Hi there, and welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. You're the key person. I need to hear from you today. So we're going to talk about something that I think we can all relate to. We can definitely appreciate the conversation that we're about to hear. We can learn and grow together, become a little bit closer to God, and have this really just this freeing experience. Maybe we're being weighed down by fear and anxiety and all sorts of things. So we really wanted to tackle this on Take Two, the Take Two way, where that means that you guys have to weigh in on this because you are the teachers here. How do you let go and let God? How do you let go and let God? Now, let's face it. Let's be really honest, okay? If we're gonna tackle this together, we like to say we let God, right? We like to say we let go, right? But really, do we? Oh, come on. We give it over to God, but then we pull it back. We give it over to God, and then we try to control it. We give it over to God, then we try to manipulate it. We give it over to God, then we worry about it. Don't we? It's kind of that interesting dynamic that happens. Well, we really want to talk about actually letting go and letting God and having that extraordinary sense of freedom inside of our souls. We want that. We want to feel that. And that's important to free fall into God's arms and know that he's got our back. He's got us covered. He's going to take care of us. We know that from Scripture. We know that to be true of God. Why is it so difficult for us to let go and let God? Let's talk about it. And I'm right with you, you guys. I'm the same way. I turn it over to God all the time, and then I pull it right back. I think it's just human nature sometimes. But some people have really mastered it and have really trusted God and really free-falled. You know that, you remember those trust falls we would do as kids, or when you went to a ropes course or something of that nature? They do these things called trust falls or corporate trainings and stuff. They do them, it can be very dangerous. You know, you get up on a table and then you have the spotters, and then you fall back into their arms, and there's this lesson, this exercise in trust. But when you finally have to let go, you realize you really do have to depend on those people that are going to catch you, or you're going to hit the floor, and it's going to be a hard fall, and it's going to hurt. And I have seen people, start to trust fall, and then they pull back, and they bend their knees, and they get hurt. I mean, it's not good. And so if we're really going to trust God, if we're really going to free fall into God's arms, if we're really going to let go and let God, maybe you could share how you've done it and how you continue to practice it in your life. If no calls come in, then I'll just go ahead and share my story over and over again, several times that I have a really great learning lessons in my life, I think, with this idea of free falling into God's arms. And I know I've posted it on Facebook a few times, and actually a few of you said that, you know, thanked me for, you know, phrasing it that way. But I really feel that way. I really feel like it's a free fall. You have to really and truly let go of everything and know and trust that God absolutely has it covered. Okay, so we're talking about that today. I need to hear from you. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. Please. Don't sit this out, and please weigh in and give us your takes on this, your lived experiences. And here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, remember, everything on Take Two, we cover it from all different angles, okay? We don't like to just sugarcoat things. We don't like to just make it very predictable. We want to really approach it and kind of attack it from all angles. So we truly can change and learn and grow together in this brief, very quick hour on Catholic Radio. But so if you have tremendous difficulty letting go and letting God, if you're a control freak, if anybody's ever called you that, maybe your spouse has said to you, you're a control freak. I mean, that's typically what people say about controlling people. And it really bothers you, but you know it to be true. Let's talk about it. Why is that? Maybe you feel like no one else can do it. And if that, does that mean that God can't do it? You know, sometimes when we are have a controlling nature, or we feel like we have to take care of a situation on our own because no one else can do it, It's a lack of trust in others. It's a lack of dependency. It's a lack of willingness to accept others' help. It's a lack of this ability to see past ourselves, right? And that includes our relationship with God. So we can extend that to God. So it's the same thing we're saying to God that we say to other people. So if you take back tasks, okay, even in your own house, in your household, and you say, well, I've got to do it because I'm the one who can do it better. And I've done that. I'll be honest with you. There are things that I do around the house that I feel like I'm the only one who does it perfectly. And that's just the way it is. Okay. And I understand that. And that happens. And again, that's human nature. But, you know, think about that. If we are saying that to God, if we turn something over to God and we say, okay, God, you're God. You know, you are the amazing God. You can do it. But I think I can do it better. I mean, what does that say about our relationship with God? That's insulting. And I know I have insulted God by doing that. That's terrible. I don't know what I was thinking. So I really want to hear and tap into your wisdom, your understanding about this. You can see I'm getting fired up, and it's not because I have my pledge drive ball cap on, and I do. I wear hats for pledge drives when I'm hosting because I have to get up super early in the morning, but it just kind of keeps me focused, you know, because raising money for Catholic Radio, you got to stay focused. And right now I'm hosting one of the pledge drives for Annunciation Radio in Toledo, Ohio, and boy, oh boy, are the folks responding in a big way. They love their station, and a lot of priests are coming into the studio and supporting it and bringing pledges in with them. And it's just amazing what I'm witnessing. And I'm learning as I'm hosting a pledge drive. And you see, this is the beauty of Catholic Radio. Okay, I'm so excited. I can't even talk that well today. One open phone line. Can you believe it? That means you guys understand this. You guys get this. There's only one open phone line. So who's going to pick up that last open line right now for this first set of calls that we're going to take right after the break? I want to hear from you, letting go and letting God. Let me just state it up front. Michael McCall, please make a note of this. Servant of God, Father Delindo Rutolo, Surrender Novena, the Surrender Prayer. We'll post something of a link in of that nature on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Father Delindo Rutolo, Jesus, you take the wheel. I love it. 833-288-EWTN. Do you let go and let God? We really want to hear from you. Please call in. Okay, we are letting go and letting God today. And from now on, this is the beginning of just a fresh start in our lives, right? We're going to do this together as a Take Two family. So I need your support and your takes and your wisdom and your lived experience on this. Letting go and letting God, free falling into God's arms, giving it all to God, knowing that He's got our backs and He's going to take care of us. And we know that throughout Scripture. It is reinforced in Scripture, and it is Scripture does not lie. So Scripture is true. It's of God, and we need to listen, and we need to learn, and we need to grow together. I'm speaking to myself as well. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're going to get to Dorothy in just a moment. She's going to be our first caller. So Dorothy, hold on one second. I just wanted to share about EWTN television. By providing quality programming faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church, EWTN television is TV that viewers can trust. Whether it's films, documentaries, news coverage, lively discussion shows, or kids programs, we highlight the truth, and that is the eternal word. I love that. For a complete schedule of EWTN television programs, visit EWTN.com and click on TV. Okay, that we just like to highlight things that are important for you to make note of and put on your calendars and check it out and subscribe and do all sorts of things and shop. Don't forget shopping, because EWTNRC.com has got some great items for Christmas gifts. Okay, Dorothy is going to be our first caller to start the conversation off. We're talking about letting go and letting God at 833 833- 888-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And I mentioned servant of God, Father Delindo Rutolo. He was a contemporary of Padre Pio, and he's on his beginning stages of his road to canonization. He is amazing. The Surrender Novena, Surrender Prayer, Jesus, You Take the Wheel. That's a great devotion and prayer to be able to keep practicing letting go and letting God. Dorothy from Worcester, Massachusetts, on the Station of the Cross. You are first. Hi, Dorothy.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I'm trying to really, really master this and totally give God control of everything.
Mm-hmm. I had an experience recently. I was in an accident that there was no bodily injuries or anything to either party. And I had damage done to my car. And the insurance company told me that I have to pay the deductible if to have the repairs done if I was found liable. Well, after all the paperwork and everything was done for the legal part of it, I went and said to God, I said, I'm leaving it in your hands. What you want me to do with this situation, let me do it. And I just found out recently that I am not found liable. I do not have to pay the deductible, which I really can't afford. And I'm waiting for word on when to bring my car in the shop and have it fixed.
Wow. So you turned it over to God. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to be really, really, like, really super honest with us on this. When you turned it over to God, did you completely turn it over and then you didn't even think about it again? You didn't worry about it. You didn't do anything, or you did? Did you hold on to some of that anxiety?
Well, when I turned it over to Him, I totally lost the anxiety I had, and my family kept asking me, "Did you hear from the insurance company? Did you hear from the insurance company?" And I told them I didn't. And I told them that I would have to call them, but I even didn't even jump right on it and call the insurance company. Mm. I waited until he got a hold of me.
What would you say? That's an amazing story, and I'm glad you shared it with us. What would you say to the rest of us, like how to really do that and practice it without holding on to things that just are deep inside of us that are going around in our minds, maybe that are hurting our hearts. Just give us a little step by step. So like people who are listening right now are going, well, how did Dorothy actually do it?
Well, when I found out that I was possibly getting anxious, I went and told myself not to get anxious, because God has it in His hands. And I would talk to God and tell Him that I know He was going to take care of everything, and I know He was going to take care of my anxiety. And that's how I got through it.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Tremendous level of trust you have, Dorothy. That's pretty amazing. Would you say that now that has given you the confidence to continue to do that with God?
I'm sorry, but you're breaking up and I'm not hearing quite a bit.
Okay, I was just going to say, do you feel the confidence now to continue that practice with God? Does it build your trust and confidence? Obviously, it does.
Yes, it does. And I will tell you, my sister had, quote unquote, fallen in love with a celebrity on TV. Mm-hmm. And we were ending up in trouble with that, because on Facebook she would get scammers contacting her claiming that they were that celebrity.
Oh.
And when that started happening, I started saying the Chapel of Divine Mercy, and dedicating it to my sister, realizing that she would never meet nor marry this celebrity. And it's been like 6 months since I've been saying the Divine Chaplet, the Chapel of Divine Mercy for my sister. And I am seeing signs right now that she is giving up on the relationship.
Wow. Yeah, see, the power of those devotionals, of especially Divine Mercy, when we build our trust in God, God wants all of us. He doesn't want part of us. And the more we build the trust, the more the relationship gets closer and closer. So the bond that you have, and that's what I was trying to tap into, Dorothy, the bond that you have and you're developing with God right now is so tight, and that's a good thing. So your call, I think, is going to be a real inspiration for others to really tap into that relationship in a deeper way and to hold on to that relationship. So I just thank you so much. I put your family in the prayer book, so we'll continue with the forward movement there with your sister, so she can break free of that. And also thank you for weighing in on this in such a strong, powerful way with your lived experience. Dorothy, you're awesome. Okay, I'm gonna let you go on that. I'm gonna go to Kimberly from Miami, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Kimberly, you got the floor. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Kimberly from Miami, Florida.
Yes.
I just wanted to share with you an experience that really started my deepened reliance on his control in my life. I was a very young mother of six small kids. My youngest one, I wanted to stay at home with him and not work out in the workforce. But unfortunately, because of what had occurred, I had to go back and I had to work. And so, very sad, and I wanted to stay home and raise my youngest, especially. And I went to work. I ended up having a grand mal seizure, which had prevented me from continuing work as well as driving. And so after I had got out of the hospital and started going back to work, my employer had fired me because of my grand mal seizure. And so that had allowed me to still bring in money because I was fired, and covered the bridge between the time where I needed to bring some income in for my husband and I. And so it was just such an unexpected gift that then allowed me, because of this illness, stay at home, take care of all of my children and my husband. And this was the bridge that I had needed, but I had faith, and that I knew that he heard my desire to stay at home and raise my children. And this is how it ended up working out. And I just knew that. And by the way, I only had that one seizure. I never had one ever again. And so I just knew that that was him working in my life to keep me at home and allowing me to be the mother I wanted to be.
Wow.
And it was such a blessing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so there is so much I can say about your story. I mean, think about it. You know, if people were to lose their job at a time when they needed their job, right? And then and so then you got all this heightened fear and worry and anxiety, and what are we going to do? What if this happens? What if that happens? But you leaned on God. You obviously tapped into the fact that he heard your heart about raising your family. So he had to allow certain things to happen in order for all those puzzle pieces to come together. Now, at any point, because of your free will, you could have turned away from God. You could have tried to take it into your own hands. You could have changed things. You could have altered things. You could have done all of those things. But instead, you chose to trust God. And when we do that, he shows up magnificently. It is an odd feeling, I will tell you, and I'm sure you can you would agree with this. As you were making that, everything was happening to you, and all, you know, the seizure, and then the losing the job, and then everything changing. I'm sure there were times you're thinking, I don't even know how this is going to turn out. And it's the oddest thing, and it's an odd feeling. But would you confirm this for me, that once you started seeing it all play out and you were home with the kids and that's really where you wanted to be, did you start to realize that everything had to line up just like it did?
I certainly did. And I feel as though I had a good relationship, and this just made it solidify it in so many ways, and so much so that the person that hired me, after she fired me, you know, at first it was hurt and betrayal, but then after seeing what had transpired and how everything played out, it actually taught me to pray for the woman who fired me.
Oh my goodness. Okay,
because
that's amazing.
You know that she must have felt some type of remorse for firing a person for having a seizure. And I just saw through the fact that she must have felt bad for doing that, and that I ended up praying for her. And just for me to get to that place was amazing in and of itself. And so since that experience in my life, every time certain things would occur, and I would just see it as, well, here comes something else in my life where I need to continue to be faithful and do what I can do, but ultimately know that there's greater things at work. And so it's very difficult when you're younger to really trust that even when bad things come your way, that there's a reason for it, and to be open.
Yeah. Wow. I could talk to you forever. Yeah, I totally agree. And we could go back and forth sharing stories about this, because that's why when people ask me, you know, they've seen the ups and downs, twists and turns of my own life in 59 years. And they're like, wow, that's terrible that happened to you. And that's really bad that happened to you. Would you, if you could go back in time, would you change anything? And the answer, now that I'm 59, I just turned 59. No, I wouldn't change anything, because it got me sitting here today. I don't know if I'd be sitting here today in the position that I'm in with my Lord and with the ministry work and the ability to spread the gospel message. I don't know if I would be. So it's really interesting, you know. And I think when you realize that everything has to, I'm not saying that, you know, we should embrace all these horrible things that come our way, but I'm saying that, you know, when we recognize that it can be used for good ultimately, and usually it gets us stronger if we stay close to God, well, then it's meant to be, and we roll with it. That's what life's all about. People, a lot of priests, a lot of people call it, Bishop Barron recently said, you know, life's an adventure. And some other priests I heard recently say, life's a roller coaster. It's so true. And that's the way it is. Thank you so much, Kimberly. What an awesome story. I have a suggestion for you, though. I think because of all the puzzle pieces, you may want to think about writing your story down, maybe for a podcast or a blog or a book or a movie. It's very interesting, because I think there's a lot of elements there that people can really learn from and can relate to. So I don't know if you ever thought about putting the book, putting your story down on paper. Have you thought of it?
Some people have told me, because of some of the events that have occurred in my life, and I'm 58, and so maybe, yeah. Thanks
okay.
for that support. I may consider doing that.
Sure, you're welcome, and let me know if you do. I would be one of the first ones to read it. I would love to. So thank you so much, and God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Okay, we're going to hit the pause button in less than a minute, so when I come back, I'm going to get to more of your calls. Diane, hang on. Don't go anywhere, Diane, from Wilmington, Massachusetts. You'll be up next after the break. We've got social media. I'm waving to you guys. Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. You're going over there and liking it. We're talking about letting go and letting God today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you are the key person. Always remember that. I'll be right back. Okay, we're we're talking about letting go and letting God, free falling into God's arms. And we had from Charlie in Kansas City, sent us in a very beautiful poem that was used in prison ministry work. And I'm going to, after the show, transfer that poem over to Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. And it was used working with the people that were in prison. And so I think things like this that can help us along with really trusting God more, letting go and really releasing some of the fear and anxiety and the worry and the what ifs and how will I cope with things. I remember I believe it was Max Lucado, the author, wrote a book called Traveling Light. And in it, he had a chapter called The What Ifs and the Howl. So what if this happens? How will I handle it? What if this happens? How will I handle it? And it's a very interesting book. And it really was some practical steps on how to really, based on Psalm 23, how to really just meditate on that, on the aspects of Psalm 23, and know that God is watching and is willing and able to care for us in a very deep way. And so, and other scripture passages I'll share as well. But we got full phone lines. I'm going to go back to the phones, and we're going to do the lightning round where we'll get as many calls in as possible. So, as promised, Diane is up next from Wilmington, Massachusetts, on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for calling in. And share with us about letting go and letting God.
Okay. So I'm that typical type A person you talked about, they being in control. And I've just grown closer in my relationship to God and just returned from the Carlo Acutis pilgrimage.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How was it?
It was unbelievable. So I think that played into this whole story. Because I had said, you know, in our church, like all the other churches, we're in need of, you know, funds to help keep us going. And I was working, just saying, okay, we need to kind of do a fundraiser, and this is the date. And basically, it was 2 months away, and everybody kind of looked at me and said, that's impossible. It takes 6 months. You have to do this and do that. And I said, well, we're just going to do it. We've got God on our side, and he gave me the army of angels. It was just unbelievable how it all came together. And I'm the type of person that normally would take all that on myself, and I was able to just let the people who had the talent take it on. And it was such a unifying event for our parish. We haven't done this in about 5 years, and to see people come and just want to get involved again and just be happy to be there and breathe life and back into the parish, it was an unbelievable experience. And in my pilgrimage, I prayed to every church I went to, every state we came across. So God was definitely with us in this adventure.
Wow. And you obviously shared with the others that in the Jubilee year, he's going to be canonized April 27th,
yes.
2025. That's Divine Mercy, yes. Sunday.
Yes. So we did get to meet his mother there, which was an unbelievable experience. And it was incredible. So he keeps doing wondrous things even in our parish and other stories that I'm telling. So it was just such an honor to be there and, you know, see him laying there and meet his mother and seeing his home. And yeah, a very humbling experience.
Wow. Can you, I don't want to ask you to do too much, because I know you're probably super busy with everyone and probably just kind of processing all this. But are you able to go on Facebook?
I haven't entered that world, but I feel like I need to.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't want to force anybody on social media, but if you don't want to go on Facebook, if you can email us take2@EWTN.com, what I would love if you could just write up like a paragraph or two, of your experience with this pilgrimage.
Okay.
I think it's very important because, obviously, as you know, with my strong, connection to Blessed Carlo, I've been receiving messages like crazy since the announcement came out from Pope Francis, and people are asking, can you tell us what it was like to go on a pilgrimage? And I haven't been, and so you have, and I don't believe there's any accident to this. So I was wondering if you could just, it doesn't have to be super long, but maybe if you and then I could use that, and I'll post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, because people are making plans right now as we speak to try and get over there for the canonization.
Wonderful. Yes, yeah. And I can tap into the other pilgrims as well just to kind of get their input. That would be great to share, yes.
Oh, yeah, that would be phenomenal. I would really appreciate it because I feel so bad that I mean, I can talk about, his mother, but I can't talk about actually being there. And so many have been there right at the, so you, the glass tomb was right there for you.
Yes. Wow. And it was actually the day after his feast day. Yeah. So there were so many people there and it was just being able to kind of walk his path, you know, was unbelievable. We went to the churches where he served as an altar server and where he went to mass and it was incredible. Yeah.
Wow. Well, and he was clearly a great example of letting go and letting God. I mean, to be diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia and to have that, you know, incredible trust for God to let go. He was amazing. And same with his mom. She had to have that trust as well. Yeah. So much to say about this. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll be in touch. Thank you. Wow, that was an incredible call. We appreciate it, Diane. Tom is up next from Northeast Ohio on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the program. Hello, Tom. Are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hello, go right ahead.
As I told your call screener, I'm not even sure that you guys would want me on because... I'll just try to be brief. I grew up in a very abusive alcoholic family. My mom married three alcoholic abusive men. My father left when I was a few months old, and I never heard from him in my entire growing up. I learned to be responsible. I did not learn anything about trusting adults. I just learned that they had expectations and that I should meet those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So trust has always been a very, very difficult thing for me. I certainly don't feel that I know better than God or that I can do better than God. But the basic issue of trust is to think of free-falling in any fashion whatsoever is way beyond my capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to be down, but I just don't know exactly how to even begin having that degree of trust.
Sure. Okay. So may I ask you a couple things, Tom? And if you're open to sharing, that's great. If you're not, just please tell me that you just don't want to answer a certain question. Where is your relationship right now today with God? Would you say that you love God? You feel close to God? Where are you at with God right now?
Well, love is another one of those. Tricky words.
Sure.
I certainly try. Mm-hmm. I won't get into any big details, but I was never in the church the entire 18 years of my life growing up. I had no religious training, mm-hmm. No experience. But when I was threatened by my stepfather and had to leave home after I graduated from high school. And I became very interested in religion, and I studied the basic, you know, all the, you know, the major religions, and I started to go to Protestant churches.
Okay.
Quite a variety, from Pentecostal to Baptist to Lutherans, you know. But anyway, so I've been trying, and... I try to nurture a relationship, but I feel people talk about, you know, becoming saints, and that is just, it makes me feel like I don't make it because I don't know love and trust, and I'm just doing the best I can.
No,
I don't know what else to say.
No, that's perfect. Are you a baptized Christian, Dom?
Well, this could take a long time, but I'll be very brief.
Okay.
My mother, when she was, I was taking care of her. She was 90 years old, and I was taking care of her, and my sister and I. And I'd spend evenings, and we'd chat about all sorts of things, and we talked about religion a little bit. And she said to me, Well, when you were a baby, your father's parents said, you're not going to take that baby out of the house until you get him baptized.
Mm, okay.
And I says, Mom, what are you talking about? We don't believe in infant baptism. You know, we're Protestants, right? And she goes, well, your father's parents were Catholic.
Okay.
So I was actually baptized at a few weeks of age in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And that
wow.
And that started a whole movement
sure.
for me because I always had some problems with Protestantism mm-hmm. in a couple issues, especially with so-called the communion and feeling that it was just a nice thing to do.
Right.
I always felt that it was not just it just was, and I ended up going to the altar continuously because I just felt. Mm-hmm. There was something missing. But when I got the news that I was baptized as a Catholic, I started to study. And long story short, I've been in the Catholic Church for 2 years now.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Great story in that aspect, because that part is amazing. Now, your story of experiencing what you had to go through as a child and growing up, I'm so sorry you had to experience that. I'm sorry you had to see things and witness things and endure things that no child, no young adult should have to do. And my heart breaks that you had to go through that. And you're right. Because of that, it's going to put you in a position where you're going to feel like I have to survive, you know, and in order to survive, it's difficult to trust. It's difficult to love because you've probably have been on the receiving end of conditional things your whole life, possibly. And that is really hard. But here's the great news, Tom. Here's the great news. You're in the Catholic Church, which is beautiful. So you are surrounded with a deep, deep, vast faith, as you know, and you'll always have that mark. And you are, you know, Jesus knows you. So that's a great thing. And Jesus loves you. That's a fabulous thing. And Jesus knows what you went through. He knows it so well because he knows suffering. He knows pain. He knows what it means to be abandoned. He knows what it means for people to betray him. He knows what it means for people to say they loved him and then they walked away. So he gets it. He gets your pain. And all I would share with you is to continue the journey slowly, step by step, with Jesus beside you and align yourself with Jesus and all that Jesus went through. And the Blessed Mother and our mother, our spiritual mother, because she went through a lot, you know, and the sorrow that she endured watching her son be crucified. I mean, how can you just even imagine if you were there? I mean, it was horrific to have to endure it and watch it and witness it. But Tom, here's the thing that I want to just leave with you, and I want you to really just take this deep into your heart if you can do this when you go into your next prayer session. God knows your pain, and he knows that you're probably trying your very best to trust him, and he knows that you're trying your very best to love him. Do what you can and ask God to fill in the rest, and he will. He will, I promise you. Do a little, let him do the heavy lifting, and he will come in and he will fill that for you. That part that is missing or you can't quite get there yet. I promise you that. Every one of us is deficient and compromised in some way because this world is rough. It's tough. And so people may say they forgive other people, but sometimes they don't forgive people. They possibly forgive them maybe a tiny bit, but they really can't because the pain was so great. Let God do the rest. Say, God, I forgive these people, but I really don't. But you do the rest. I'll do a little. You do a lot. And I promise you, you will see step by step, moment to moment, day by day, all of a sudden you will feel like, wow, he's got my back. He gets me. And you will just go deeper and deeper. And I'm telling you this from my lived experience, Tom. And I haven't gone through what you have gone through growing up, but I've gone through some pretty tough stuff, and I couldn't do it sometimes. I couldn't get over that mountain. And it wasn't until I met people like Adam Bly, my co-host of The Spirit World, who said, Debbie, you don't have to do it all. Just do a little and God will do the rest. And he did. And he does every day. So I just wanted to leave you with that. The next time you go in a deep prayer, just maybe think about practicing that, and you will feel it. It feels like somebody just lifted like a heavy weight off your chest. It's the weirdest of feeling, but it's a great feeling. So I just wanted to impart that to you as you know, you're a brother in Christ. I'm your sister in Christ. And I wanted to just give that to you today in hopes that it would bring you the next steps.
Thank you, Debbie. I just have to say I had a bit of insight while you were saying that. Because I've had to be so self-reliant, mm-hmm. I feel that I'm not meeting the requirement. But what you're saying, mm-hmm. is I don't have to.
You don't have to. No. No. He loves you so much, and he knows what you've gone through. And you know what? You're really strong. You're really, really strong. So, I'm so glad you had that aha moment. That's what God's all about. That's why the Holy Spirit is using the radio to connect all of us as quickly as possible, because people really do struggle with so many things and we have no one to talk to. And so I just learned a lot from you, Tom, and I hope you learned a lot from this conversation. And I hope that thousands are listening right now that are learning from this and growing from it so that they can start to live their best spiritual life. Tom, I think you're awesome. You got to stay in touch with us.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you so very much. I'm so glad you called today, and I'm so glad you trusted us with your call. That is very important to us. And I know when Matt received your call, he actually, to be totally full disclosure, he pushed you to the front of the line, and there was a reason. So Matt Gabinski, thank you for being prompted by the Spirit as well, our call screener. Okay, Tom, I'm going to let you go on that. And we're going to go to Michael in Northern Ohio. And Michael has been waiting so patiently, but as you can hear by the conversation, Michael, it was a time well spent with Tom. So go ahead, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. And Tom, on my prayers, and actually he's a fellow, I'm actually from Northeast Ohio. I said Northern Ohio.
Oh, okay, Northeast. So that's what I thought. Okay, so you're on the Station of the Cross, too. Okay, do you know Tom?
Yeah, I don't, but now I feel like I do.
Go good, good.
So, yeah, and so my little thing actually kind of ties in a couple of ways to what you were just saying. Because what you were just saying, you know, Jesus said, yoke is easy, your burden is light. So sometimes, and I'll get into my original reason for calling, but it was adoration. And sometimes at adoration, I actually will say to Jesus, okay, Jesus, you said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And now I get it. And sometimes his answer back is, okay, yeah, and I'm going to give you the ability to handle a situation mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. But my original reason I said to the call screener was, you know, I was just waking up this morning, and this is a thing about letting go, let God. You know, I try to get to adoration for an hour a week, but, you know, there's little churches around here. Mm-hmm. It's more country-ish where I live anyways. And so you drive, but there's some priests that are trying to get, like, an hour of adoration time for people to come to here and there. And so I try to make it. So I was like, mm-hmm. I woke up this morning, and sometimes you wake up and you're kind of praying, and you go, what do you want me to do today? And I was like, I don't really have time for this, to go to this. And I like prayed, God, what do you want me to do?
Right.
And do you want me to, like, because I'm going to go to Mass anyway. So if I go to this place, it's a little further, but they're going to do an hour of adoration. And I did it, and I'm every right. time I do it. Right. See, here's the thing: I try to realize you don't want to pass up an opportunity to be with the God of the universe, because when He's exposing that, this is the same God, frankly, that when Moses came down from the mountain, he was glowing. Mm-hmm. Right? This is Jesus. He's one of the Trinity, so he's God. Right. And so just having that faith, so I decided to do it. And usually when I just do that, I decide to do it, I'm blessed. So in that way, I was letting go because I could mm-hmm. say, I could easily say, I can push that out because I've got so many things to do. But yeah. it's not like I had something to do, like, you know, like tomorrow or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it'll God can show you ways to get things done mm-hmm. if you take some time to spend it out. And I guess that's like Jesus saying, try me. Try me. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Okay, yes. So a couple things. You've said so many great spiritual nuggets that I think we need to tap into. But first, I want to just say, Michael, thank you so much for waiting pretty much half the show to get on air. And I just want to say that says a lot about your commitment to your faith, your love of God, and what you want to share with the world that could help other souls. It says a lot about your soul. So I want to give you that virtual patience award today. And everybody else that's been waiting the show, I love you guys so very much. And you do know that we organically roll here with the Holy Spirit. So that means that when something is, we feel that there's a need to address something or stay longer with a particular caller, there's a reason. There's a reason because we really feel that there's a lot of prayer that goes into this show. And I just want to say, Michael, it's evident that you care because immediately you were sending, affirmations and kudos to Tom for calling in. So that was fabulous. Now, you're talking about the effort we make with God, and you're spot on. Okay, you are spot on. We make choices all day long, all day long. What am I going to do? What am I going to stay away from? Am I going to enter into this? Am I going to not choose that? We go back and forth all day long. It's all about choices. And when we choose God, when we choose God in the smallest of ways or in big ways, like some of the saints would spend hours and hours, like Padre Pio in the confessional for, 11, 12 hours, and he would pray 17 rosaries, and he would then go and pray in the chapel afterwards and say, God, I don't have enough time to pray. Okay, so he would do all sorts of things like that. When we do, that's big ways, but even small ways, when we choose God and choose God in our thoughts and choose God in our actions and choose to be with God and do the things that remind God that we care. It goes a long way. I can't say it enough. A little goes a long way with God. And so it's all about choices all day long. The choice for people to call in to take two and to sit on hold for 20 and 30 minutes, you care. You care about other souls. You care about your own soul. You care about others. The people who make the choice to listen to Catholic radio, you care. You care about your own soul. You care about others. It's the same thing you can do, and you can apply it to anything we make choices on during the day. Now, when we choose things that aren't healthy for us and aren't good for us, we suffer the consequences of that. Oftentimes, you eat too much food, you get a stomach ache afterwards. I mean, we suffer the consequences of our choices too. But when we try our hardest to make those little efforts, and Jerry and I always call them the baby steps. We like the movie, What About Bob, when he says baby stepping it. It's so true. When you baby step things and you really try to choose God throughout the day, you are spot on, Michael. Can't stress it enough. God will provide. And does he provide abundantly? Does that mean he kind of multiplies more time? I think so. He does. He does. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do to show that he is pleased. So I'm right with you. I think your call was so perfect for us to hear, because again, with letting go and letting God, it is truly a choice. It's a choice in that direction. Now we may not master it completely, but it's a choice to lean that way. And that's important to God. Every time we refocus, every time we lean a little closer to God, God comes rushing to us. And I just want to thank you so very much, Michael. You are awesome. And God bless you. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call, but I'm just trying to make sure I have enough time to do this. Oh, I don't think I do. I'm not sure if I do. I don't think I do. But let me just share this. Okay, let me end it there because I have to wrap up everything. something and just kind of close this discussion. I am so sorry I couldn't get to the other callers today. I apologize that I could not get to the social media today, but here's the great news. Tomorrow is unscripted. Okay, tomorrow's unscripted. So please, Matt, if you could let everybody know who's holding, everybody is holding right now. Call back tomorrow. Tell Matt I had something to say. Put me at the front of the line. I was on hold yesterday. We ran out of time, and you can get in on unscripted. Okay, so I'm begging you to do that. Everyone, please show up tomorrow for unscripted. Thank you to Michael McCall, our producer, Matt, our call screener, Rich on social media, and all the affiliates that carry this program live. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will see you tomorrow. Have a beautiful and blessed day.